This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, joining me in the line tonight is spokesman for the Women's Forum Australia, Melinda Tankard-Reist. How are you tonight?
I'm really well, thanks.
Melinda, this magazine, Faking It, it stumbled in my hands several months ago and I have not been able to put it down. It is just amazing and a bit mind-blowing, actually, with some of the stats.
Well, look, thanks for saying that. Faking It is a magazine-style research paper which unpacks the negative messages that girls get from the media and popular culture. It's actually a bit of a spoof of a women's magazine, so it looks like a women's magazine.
It's got some really good,
fairly sarcastic headlines on the front, like "Hate Your Body, We Show You How," "For Sure Not Hot," and "The Stick Insect Diet." And what it does is it looks at what research says about the effects of women's magazines on girls and women, and the way these sort of stereotyped images of hot, skinny women make women feel, and mostly they make women feel bad about themselves.
Mm.
You know, most women feel inadequate, like they can't live up to the sort of images in these magazines. And so we wrote it really as a resource for schools and for parents and for girls themselves to be able to help them to critically assess the negative messages that they get and hopefully, you know, sift out the good from the bad.
It's interesting that you say for girls, because I'm kind of coming after that girl stage, but I kind of think women should read this as well to realise how they've been gypped in the past.
Absolutely. We've been totally ripped off with the one-dimensional view of women that we're presented with. We're told that real beauty means looking thin, hot and sexy and attracting male attention. Mm. And yet we would argue that beauty is just so much deeper than that. And unfortunately, girls aren't being helped to celebrate other aspects of their lives, their personalities, their goals, the way they want to make a difference in the world, their artistic abilities, their intellect. They're only celebrated, really, for how they look. And this is contributing to eating disorders, self-harming behaviours, anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, poor academic performance. That's what the research says is the effect of these hyper-sexualised, hot, thin images of women that girls are bombarded with everywhere they look.
It's so scary. What do you think are some of the biggest concerns? I mean, you've kind of addressed a few there that this magazine kind of addresses.
Look, I think eating disorders is a huge concern. That the stats are just mind-blowing. The fact that 1 in 100 Australian girls is anorexic, 1 in 5 is bulimic, 1 in 4 12-year-old girls wants to have plastic surgery, 1 in 4 12-year-old girls uses vomiting and fasting to lose weight. These are deeply disturbing statistics. And again, the research shows a connection between this media messaging and the negative impact, particularly on girls' bodies. So I'm particularly concerned about that. I'm also concerned about self-harm. Self-harm is the largest cause of hospital admission in girls aged 13 to 19 in this country.
Wow.
The biggest reason that girls go to hospital is because they are harming themselves. And, you know, I'm writing a new book on this, which is coming out in September. Well, I've written the book now, it comes out in September. And I quote an author who says that self-hatred has become a new rite of passage for girls.
Mm.
I just think that is such a sad thing that girls hate themselves so much and that they're taking this hatred out on their own bodies.
Would it be fair to say that these things don't get discussed in these magazines because, well, those magazines just don't sell then?
Well, the fact is that these magazines survive because of advertising from the beauty and fashion industries.
Mm.
So it is in the interest of these magazines to actually make women feel bad about themselves, because that way their advertisers get to sell more products. These advertisers and marketers are promising, you know, instant beauty through their products. Here's a way to lose weight, you know, get rid of cellulite, get rid of you know, pimples, get rid of bad hair days, the whole thing.
Mm.
And as soon as magazines promote a view of women that actually you're okay as you are, love yourself as you are, well, that's not going to appeal to to their advertisers, unfortunately.
I think one thing I remember in the magazine was that there's even an article about how one minute they will actually say, you know, something positive, but then the next page is just completely contradictive.
Well, that's exactly right. And we expose this in Faking It. We give an example of one magazine which says, you know, we want women to, well, this is Girlfriend Magazine.
Mm.
Girlfriend Magazine has a love yourself policy, you know, a body self-respect policy. And yet at the same time, admits that it airbrushes and photoshops every image of every woman in its magazine.
Mm.
So how do you tell girls, we want you to love and respect your body, and at the same time say, well, actually, we really don't want real women in our magazine. You can't have it both ways. Another magazine decides to feature larger-sized women to celebrate all kinds of bodies. Well, of course, those larger-sized women were the Scarlett Johansons and the Beyoncé and the J. Lo's of this world who are, you know, again, we're not going to look like, most of us are never going to look like that.
Yeah.
So, when they allegedly want to represent a whole broad range of women, they pick out those kind of women who have, you know, remarkably stunning looks anyway. So it's really unfair.
Absolutely. Melinda, do you think the stats have got worse? Because, I mean, it hasn't been that long since I was in high school. It's been a while, but I just look around at young girls these days and I think it's worse. Is it worse?
It's definitely worse, yeah. All the research says that it is worse and that it's getting worse. The fact is that 6 and 7 year old children in this country are being admitted to hospital with eating disorders.
Mm.
You know, that really wasn't being seen 5 or 10 years ago. And, you know, this terrible effect on girls is just taking place earlier and earlier. And that's a massive cause for concern. The fact that so many girls are spending so much time self-objectifying, in self-surveillance, always looking at themselves in the mirror, always checking out their bodies, always worried. I mean, we had a case recently in a Queensland high school where girls were ranking each other every day on the basis of hotness, and they had to wear that ranking on their arms for the rest of the day.
Oh.
This is not healthy schoolyard behaviour.
Oh.
And there are many other examples as well. We have the rise in the phenomenon called sexting, where girls are sending sexualized pictures of themselves to boys through email or through mobile phones.
Mm.
Some of the girls doing this are 13 years old, sending, you know, very sexualized pictures of themselves because they've been sold a message that they have to behave and act like sexual merchandise. They have to act like live pornography to be able to please men and boys, and that's a particularly disturbing phenomenon as well.
Is it just the magazines, do you think, or do you think film and TV play a big
part? Certainly not just the magazines. I mean, my work is about popular culture more broadly. Faking It is about magazines, but we also go further than that. There's so many factors, so many influences, TV, music, video clips, toys, games, billboards. You know, we're talking about the wallpaper behind which we're trying to raise happy, healthy, resilient children, but really we're trying to raise them in what is becoming an increasingly toxic environment. And again, that's what the research says, that the broader culture is toxic for the healthy raising of children.
What about, you know, we're looking at young girls now. How does it affect them, the things that they're going through now, when they're adults?
Well, this is another thing that's happening, is that eating disorders and depression are on the rise in older women as well. It's not just a phenomenon amongst younger women these days. Older women are also feeling that pressure. Older women are also presenting at hospital with eating disorders. So it starts early and it continues. That's the terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with eating disorders, many women die, and those that don't are often left with lifelong illnesses and damage to their bodies. And unfortunately, there's just not enough resources being directed at these problems. There's massive waiting lists for beds for sufferers of eating disorders, which is another issue I've become involved in when I've talked to families that have a daughter with an eating disorder. So this is something that affects girls and women at every stage of the life cycle, really.
Absolutely. What can people do you think, Melinda?
Look, there's a number of things that people can do. The first thing is to just become aware of how bad things are. You know, we're not exaggerating the research. This is the facts that we're talking about here. People can make complaints. They can boycott products which are demeaning and which objectify their girls, their daughters. They can make complaints about advertisements. They can call on for changes with the Advertising Standards Board and the Classification Board, which unfortunately have allowed all sorts of objectifying images of women to be plastered all over our society. Mothers need to be really careful because the research shows that a lot of girls' daughters take their cues from their mothers. So if their mums feel bad about their bodies, if they're continually weighing themselves, if they're continually denying themselves dessert, those messages get through to the girls as well. And in fact, some girls have contacted me to talk about their concerns for their mothers.
Wow.
And some mothers are forcing daughters to continually work out at gyms and to limiting their diets and that kind of thing. Mm. So mums have to be really careful also.
Absolutely. Well, I know one of your initiatives is to get this magazine, Faking It, into the hands of young girls, and you have a fundraiser tomorrow night.
We certainly do. We have a benefit concert at the Ruby Rabbit, which is in Oxford Street, Darlinghurst. The entry charge is $10. It starts at 8:30, and all proceeds from the night go to getting Faking It magazine into every school in Australia. We just believe that's where it needs to be. Got two fantastic performers tomorrow night. Natasha Stewart, who's a backing vocalist in Australian Idol, and she's toured with Delta Goodrum and Richard Clapton and Paul Mack. Oh. And she's also been working with Ricky Lee Coulter and Jessica Malboy. And we've also got Evelyn Dupre, who has a pretty stunning music resume. She regularly tours Australia and tours internationally as well. She's performed with James Morrison, and she's also performed with Silverchair and also Paul Mack. So they're the two artists that have very kindly and generously donated their services tomorrow night to help in this fundraiser for Faking It.
But I also understand that people can, if they can't get to that, they can donate online.
They certainly can donate online on our website, which is www.womensforumaustralia.org. And we'd be really, really grateful. And people can also sign up and become members online. They'll get our newsletter. They'll be put in touch with events in their areas. They'll be put in touch with fantastic, dynamic women that are working to make positive change in our society on this issue and other issues that affect women as well.
Absolutely. Melinda, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I think what you're doing is so important. And so we're definitely behind you as well.
Look, I really appreciate that support. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.